To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi.
Hi. It's almost like our perfect show in many ways. I get to talk about how great Shador was. You get to talk about firing Kevin Stefanski. It feels like this is if there was ever a show made for us, this might be today.
I mean, listen, it was, there are some people describing it as the best case scenario. And to me, that is the epitome of loser mentality. We'll get to that later. How you feeling about Shador? You feeling good today?
Yeah, I got to feel good about Shador today. Yes.
Any victory laps you'd like to take?
Right? No. We're better than the victory
laps.
We
are not.
You can't ride. There's too many highs and lows and everything that comes with talking football. You don't believe me when I say this. I don't take the highs and run with them. I don't. I bury myself in the lows because I'm just a masochist or something. I'm not sure. I just murder myself with the lows.
Whips but when and it, chains and whatnot.
When the highs happen, you got to take it in stride, because the NFL, the way this works is they're just waiting to just go ahead and slap you across the face next week and figure it all out from there. But it felt really good. It felt really good to be able to have Shador play the way that he did. Nick, not just the idea that he looked good. Think about how he looked good. You had only Joe Bitonio was the starting lineman from week one that was on the field in yesterday's game. You were down to four backup offensive linemen. You had three different pass catchers get injured in that game. He got 64% of pressure on plays, and he was dealing. Like, that was a lot of fun.
So here's, you do need to take a victory lap today. The many supporters should be taking victory lap, because for 8 months, people have gotten progressively negative, more negative about Shador. And for a majority of those 8 months, he hasn't played. Like, I am Switzerland. I can only take so much of a victory lap for being open-minded to Shador, being a good NFL quarterback. But, like, I understand the idea of, like, because here's the thing. If you don't do it today, there's not a mythical time in the future you will. It's not like at the end of the season, if he's got four more good games ahead of him like he did yesterday, it's going to be 4 weeks late.
We got enough time for I Was Right Radio. Don't worry. There's enough. I do love that part of life. I love I Was Right. But I don't. No. We don't. Unless I'm, shooting off celebration cannons, we take things in stride, Nick. That's how we do things around here.
Want to bring the cannon back
we
today, huh?
I wanted to. It was a loss. I couldn't bring it back in a loss.
Yes, you could.
No, I couldn't.
Yes, because it was an L for them, and it was a dub for you.
This is where my emotional strings are being pulled in every single direction. Did last night feel good in many ways? Yes, it did. Do I feel better about the idea that in a loss, the season's going nowhere? Like, if the season was going to the postseason, or if the year was going to the postseason, that would have been crushing to lose that game in that situation in many ways. But there are enough Browns fans out there that just think we did enough for the draft board yesterday, and that's the win. And then Shador looking good and being able to evaluate him for the rest of the season, that's also the win. And so I left last night feeling overall very optimistic.
I would love to be able to have a true representation of where Browns fans are today. With the three things from that game that left you feeling some sort of way, and it's really four things if we're being honest, it's Shador's four touchdown performance, and not just that, it's the highs and lows of the interception in the third quarter that gave Tennessee the lead, basically, and then watching him mount a comeback. So that's one part of it. The handling of Shador in the fourth quarter while he was dealing, including the two-point conversions,
yep,
Well, that's another part of it, which is, again, why you lost. The coaching boo-boos across from Bubba to Kevin to Tommy. And then, of course, the defense picking. The worst week you could have to have the worst week. Like, I saw...
That was Tony Pollard, Jim Brown.
Not just that.
What happened there?
But, like, honestly, guys, Cam Ward wanted to give you this game. He wanted to give you four interceptions.
I'm getting so angry thinking about the amount of people that were even questioning. Like, did Cam Ward play a better game than Shador yesterday? What are you talking about? Stop huffing paint. It was very obvious who the better quarterback in the field was yesterday.
I can't remember the Jamoke from Nashville radio, but somebody had put the stats up of Shador and Cam Ward, and he's like, well, one of these guys plays the number two defense. I'm like... The Browns have the number two defense, but they just played like number two yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, that was a wild amount of people that were trying to make the case that Cam Ward looked awesome in that game. And as if the Devin Bush interception, by the way, just never existed. As if he didn't have all sorts of throws that were nowhere close and only threw for 140 yards passing. That was bothersome. What I thought early on the narrative was going to be after the Quinshon 58-yarder to the house, I thought people were going to be like, because he started accumulating a lot of numbers very quickly in that game. And I was like, oh no, people are just going to wipe away. They're going to say this is all because of the 58-yarder and it's not going to look good. And I'm like, oh no. And then obviously you end up with the game where he has almost 400 all-purpose yards. He is the leading rusher in the game. He is obviously the leading passer in the game. And he made a million big-time throws that we can talk about.
I mean, I just think the push and pull of today, and I'd love to get the true representation where you're at today, is are you more excited about Shador's big game or angry at Kevin Stefanski? Because I had 4 hours. That was a slow game yesterday. I had 4 hours of Stefanski. And we can say, well, Tommy Rees called this play, or, well, Bubba Ventrone, he's the head coach of the team. For the love of God, you can ascribe some blame to the head coach of the team. That versus I was really worried I was going to have to come in here and be like, Shador lost the game because that's how bad that interception was. Only for that young man to go out and within, what was it, 5 minutes, 6 minutes, put together two game-winning drives in what I honestly is not even close, the best quarterbacking performance we've seen.
Not even close.
And honestly, not just this year, because that's the lowest bar ever. Probably since Joe Flacco picked one of the games back in 2023.
I mean, he rallied in a way that we've seen him do at Colorado, and he took it to the next level. And so, like, this was in start three, he throws for 360 yards, accounts for 4 touchdowns in what I've described as just the most banged up offensive line in the sport, and 3 pass catchers out in that game. Like, that is a mwah chef's kiss of a performance by Shador. And when we talk about it, we have to keep going to the idea that there are so many quarterbacks, veterans in this league, that would have absolutely faltered under those circumstances with that situation, the way that you're playing with just a starved offense that was just, they had nothing on that team at that point.
Also, he wasn't playing against IUPUI. This narrative, and I listen, let's just be honest. If you're not totally convinced on Shador, we're cool. If you are, if you're like, I need to see that a couple more times before I get too excited, we are cool. If you are negating what he did yesterday, just admit it, you're not a Browns fan anymore. If you can't take enjoyment out of what that was yesterday, even in a loss, even against the Titans, I'm sorry. Like, guys, we've seen plenty of Browns quarterbacks. We've seen Dylan Gabriel throw for 160 yards against the New York Jets in a loss.
That was like 3 Dylan Gabriel games worth of production, by the way. Like,
I understand that Shador is a lightning rod. I understand there were a myriad of reasons that you might not like him, including some that are really just stupid, petty, and some that are just really horrific. But if you can't get excited by what you saw yesterday, I think you just might not be, I don't know, liking football anymore.
So the only part that did make me mad was the idea that, and obviously we'll touch on this a little bit later on, but the idea that, this ended any conversation about whether or not the Browns could evaluate quarterbacks when you think Dylan Gabriel was anything close to that guy. But it also makes it just so obvious and so clear that the discussion the entire time was just fraught with all sorts of problems. And clearly, if it was a misevaluation, call it what it was, but then they don't know how to evaluate. And on top of it, I can't believe so many people fell for that line of thinking and just took what they spoon-fed them and just acted as if that was what was obviously happening with the idea.
It doesn't sound like you're talking about fans, by the way. It sounds like you're talking maybe more in a professional
sense. So many people in this instance, they got spoon-fed information. I had all sorts of people here coming up up and showing me the, oh, Browns are saying this about behind the scenes. Oh, yeah, okay, because I'm going to believe everything the Browns tell me. And these people believed them. They believed what the Browns told them. They ran with it, and it was just, it was so irresponsible that I can't even have it.
I was so confused.
So irresponsible.
I was so confused all of yesterday night. One, because I was watching the Bears-Packers game, which I don't care what the score says. That was just a dud of a game. There was so much bad quarterbacking in that, but I digress. So I was a little I was a little bummed that that didn't live up to the hype in my head. And two, I was confused. Confused because I was like, well, I really want to be excited about Shador, but also, God, you know what, well, you Kevin okay. Stefanski.
So you know what this is though. This is the Baker game against the Raiders, where Nick Chubb went off and had a couple major runs. You lose that one 45-42 in overtime, but Baker looked awesome in that game. I think that was another 350-yard performance for Baker, and that's very early on in his rookie season. That is after obviously the Jets game in Week 3, but that's the first runway that he had, and it was a loss. It was a loss, but there was so much hope attached to that loss and scoring a 40-point performance that you just have to resign yourself to the idea that that was for the greater good almost. Like, that wasn't for Shador. It doesn't mean Shador is going to be the franchise quarterback for the next 10 years and we go to the Super Bowl and everything's awesome after one game. But he gets the next four games. He gets the runway to continue to show what he can do, and then we're off to the races. Hopefully, we're off to the races.
We'll get to the best-case scenario for Browns fans and why I hate that mentality. I do think yesterday was potentially the best case scenario for supporters, because I think you got to see Shador, you got validated with Shador and all the nonsense of the NFL machinations against this kid, while also you're one step closer to Kevin Stefanski getting fired. So to the supporters out there, that really was a pipe dream moment. Like, could it really ever be this good?
I thought it was going to be impossible to have him have a game like he did yesterday, and the prevailing thought afterwards wasn't going to be anything but Stefanski's awesome. Wow, look at the work that he did.
Yep.
I didn't know that we could have this type of moment. And because you know, because we've been talking about it for months, what was going to make me the most angry all through all of this was them trying to take credit for Shador being good at football. He's always been good at football, okay? There's nothing Stefanski did in 3 weeks that made the light bulb go on, okay? And I was getting ready to be angry about it all, but the way yesterday went down, that's not the conversation at all.
Listen, we'll wait to see what Albert Breer has to say tomorrow at 5:20. That would be my only rebuttal there, because... Oh, I remember. He lit us up. He tanned that ass, I think, if I remember his MMQB.
He said your name, not mine there. So,
I remember whose name he said. Might have to play that little ditty for Albert Breer tomorrow at 5:20. We'll see just how open.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. we host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Minded he is.
Thank you. Thank you for that groundbreaking news, Kevin.
I gotta tell you, you really went on a limb. And I think, listen, that's what we think about Kevin Stefanski. He's not afraid to go out on a limb for Shador Sanders.
Or the fact that we don't trust him enough that he has to actually implicitly say that is your starting quarterback for the next 4 weeks.
Now remember, with Dylan Gabriel, all right? Yeah, that guy got a clear. Listen, he's got a runway here. We didn't even have to talk about, is he going to start next week?
Oh,
we just
I forgot to check Dylan's fiance's TikTok to see what her thoughts on the game were.
Did she throw the snowball at Jerry Jeudy as Jerry Jeudy backflipped into the end zone?
That seems more likely than anything, if we're being honest.
It didn't land, so it also could have been Dylan Gabriel.
And also, she probably doesn't have access to suites or anything. She's sitting in the cheap seats with everyone else.
Maybe she's with Kyle Juszczyk and Christian McCaffrey's wives.
That's backup quarterback money. That's economy seating money right there.
Well,
That's all that is.
He'll be a great high school head coach in Hawaii. This is all very bitter. It's not about Dylan Gabriel. It is about whatever the hell that Kevin Stefanski was thinking. Because here's the thing. While I was watching Shador yesterday, there is the element of, this is what we were hoping we could get at some point from this young man. But because we saw that three games in, the first thing I did was go back and be like, man, I wonder how much ahead of schedule he could have been if he had just been treated like he was alive from like April until like 4 weeks ago.
I don't think it's an accident that before and after then the Raiders game, he talked about what would happen if he had a full off season of training and a full off season of getting the reps and getting number one. Like, all these things matter. They chose a different guy. They chose poorly, and it was proof positive based off of yesterday.
And I just think with Shador, listen, one game is a lot to say he's the quarterback of the future.
Mm-hmm.
But now I believe it's possible. Right? Like, now it's like, the idea that he's going to do what he did yesterday four more times this year with pass catchers going down. You lost Posick for the rest of the year with a snapped Achilles, which stinks, by the way, that he's going into free agency and he has that. That just, you know.
I guess Wyatt Teller's again next. He's out next week as well.
Well, I mean.
That's what we heard
today,
too.
You got to see more. Like Tevin, I don't think Tevin Jenkins played that bad.
I did watch Carly's TikTok yesterday, and that's not what she was saying was going to happen in the TikTok, just for whatever it's worth.
But so your offensive line's going down. The defense might have checked out yesterday, and we just don't know it. Like, I think we know it. It's tough to see him repeating that four more times over the final four games of the season, but I now go into these games thinking, hey, you have a chance in December simply because this kid played the way he did against the Titans.
Well, you have a chance in December, and if everything goes well, you have some flexibility. Like, you don't have to force anything with the quarterback at the top of the draft. You don't have to force anything with potentially trading all your picks to move up to get a quarterback. You don't even have to think about, again, if things go well, you don't have to think about the stupid, like, Kirk Cousins discussions we had last offseason and everything that accompanies all this stuff. Like, life is so much sweeter if this just works out. That's where the excitement for Browns fans has to come from, is that not only are you a much better ball club if Shador ends up being the franchise quarterback and is the answer, but it just gives you so much more flexibility and it gives you way more of a chance to start winning sooner.
Yeah, I mean, if you can do that, no matter who you're playing after 3 weeks of first team reps with a battered situation, and you can just get something in between. If you just get the aggregate between the first two starts and yesterday for the next 4 weeks, well, what is he going to look like with a full off season? And and again, it doesn't guarantee nothing. Like, hell, you could have taken this kid with a number two pick. Nothing is guaranteed. You've got to do it long term, and you've got to show growth over a long amount of time. But like, there wasn't a single moment where I watched Dylan Gabriel play that I was like, oh, he is decidedly better than the day before.
Right. Yeah.
And now 3 games in. And again, it should be important that, like, they can say, well, we're really protecting him. Maybe true, maybe not, because they've lost the right for you to trust them on anything they say. Mm-hmm. Not just because they've been patently and absurdly wrong about these two quarterbacks, but the point is, like, you come back to what they're doing. You come back. The fact that he's done this gives you hope of, man, with a left tackle, maybe a couple guards, and a true playmaker up there alongside Fannin and Judy, and all of a sudden you could have what the only thing you need, which is a league average offense.
Well, and think about it. Everyone's like, oh, the offensive line looked so good yesterday. They looked good for 3 weeks. And first off, I don't think that's an accident that now all of a sudden everyone starts to look good. But Shador was still pressured on 64% of his plays. Mm-hmm. That's the highest rate Tennessee has had all season long. Like they were doing everything they could in order to generate the pressure they needed to. Shador just made it look like it wasn't happening. Shador was able to make it look like it was normal football. And I don't think enough credit goes to him in those type of areas in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think the playmaking stuff, I it's funny, of all the plays he made, and that Judy throw was a shot on, I mean, just on the money. To me, though, the play that was like the, I don't want to say it's like the Baker Mayfield special, but the play that I was like, that's my quarterback, it was a touchdown run. That was an absolute broken play. It was a time where I've seen Dylan turtle, and I've seen Joe Flacco turtle this year, and I've certainly seen Deshaun turtle. I've seen so many guys turtle in that moment. To watch him, who again, the knock on him is he's not mobile, right? The knock on him is he's not his father, and you and I both, this is something that I will take a small victory lap, and I'm like, just because he's not Deion freaking Sanders doesn't mean the kid can't
move.
Well,
and we have to emphasize just how bad that line was that he was playing at Colorado.
Yes.
Like, that is, because I know people, they'll pull up the rushing numbers at Colorado. They're in the negative. Like, because the sacks count as yards, they're in the negative by a decent amount, but that's because he had one of the worst offensive lines in college football history. Like, you do have to account for that in some regard. He can use his legs, but it's not the feature that I think a lot of people would think it would be.
So I know a lot of people just want to do the rubber stamp. Shador became the future quarterback of the Cleveland Browns yesterday. I'm not there yet. But what I will tell you is he did the things, like we've talked about this. When you have this owner, when you have this dysfunction, when you have this organization, you can't just be a dude. You can't just be right. Some schmo.
You gotta be something special.
You can't be, oh, shucks, Kirk Cousins, you like that. No, you need to have something within you, some sort of spark, toughness, grit, charisma, some thing of that. There's no coincidence that the only time we've seen that has been Baker Mayfield, and now it is three games, but we're seeing it from Shador. And what is the comp you and I have made since the draft? It has been Baker Mayfield.
Right. That's why I tell people, I think the number one thing I've been drawn to with Shador the entire time has been, I see so much of the two of them, and whether that's Shador and Baker, whatever way you want to describe it, like it exists. And it's in the intangibles in many ways. It's in the toughness that I can't believe the amount of people I heard today being like, I had no idea Shador was that tough. I was worried about how slight a frame he was. I didn't know that. It's like, did you ever watch him at Colorado at all?
Are you
like,
Booger McFarland? You only watched about? Ohio State once this year?
What are you talking? I think that was like one of the top five features everyone brings up consistently about Shador is his toughness.
I had no idea he was Deion's kid.
Right. Like, did you just
who
find
was gonna
this
tell
out?
Me?
I couldn't believe it. Okay, clearly the people I'd been arguing with for 8 months never watched any Colorado tape ever. Okay, great.
Have you guys heard about
fantastic.
This? Shador's a right-handed quarterback.
It was basically that point. I was like, what are we doing? And that's fine.
It's also
that's
very
fine.
Accurate. There's I mean, these so, things are hey, blowing my mind.
Listen, that's all right. If a lot of Browns fans and a lot of people we discuss this stuff with have to slowly and surely learn about Shador through these games, I'm glad he's got the four-game runway to try to figure this all out and to be able to showcase what he can do. But it is just that. It's a four-game runway, and then we'll go from there. But it's fantastic he's going to have the opportunity.
And here's the thing. This is another another important thing where I don't love throwing things to it's a lost season, because there are a lot of guys who played really hard this year. And it's tough to say, like, for a guy like Mason Graham who's gotten better and Carson Schwechter who's gotten better. Like, this is only a lost season if this isn't a bridge to something somewhere at some point. Meaning guys like that and Shador and Dylan and Quinshon and, like, if
and
these
Fannin.
Guys aren't a part of something that you're building going forward, if there is a reset in the coaching staff. But you just can't convince me that you aren't thinking, you out there aren't thinking, man, what would this season have looked like if you had maybe waited, given Joe Flacco two, maybe three more weeks, and had been and getting Shador ready to play this whole time? Because even though I still don't know you're a playoff team, maybe you could have been that 7-8 win team, and really it felt It felt much more like a bridge to somewhere instead of, well, next year now he's got to prove he can be the quarterback and win and all this other stuff.
It had a chance to be drastically different.
Yeah.
It had a chance. They chose Dylan. They chose poorly. And that's why they got to live with those decisions, though. That's why when you're back-to-back three-win teams in consecutive seasons, and people are like, oh, but he didn't have the talent. He didn't. No, no, no. Stefanski had decisions he got to make. He chose poorly. Or at least somebody in the front office had decisions they got to make. They chose poorly.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say that we're going to fall back. We're not going to do the moving goalpost thing here. I'm going to go ahead and say it's still fair to think that that Dylan was Kevin's guy and that Shador was somebody else's guy. I'm still going to say that no matter how verbose Kevin Stefanski was in that clip, the run clip that we played earlier here, 216-474-0092. Let's go with Jeff in North Carolina. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. Love the comparison with Shador to Baker. Man, I miss that type of energy and I feel like that kid's got something. It's clearly different than Baker's, but it's something very similar in that it gets people around him to play hard and believe. The reason for the call, I think that Gabriel got the nod more than anything from just the college career that he had. Four or five different colleges, head coaches, coordinators, et cetera, and did very well. And when you're going to play a rookie quarterback, I think you have to come in with some understanding of the game that, you know, when you hear a different voice. And unfortunately, the worst thing that happened to Shador is I think his father's been his coach his whole life, right? He hit, you know, at Jackson State and Colorado. Not sure what his high school and you know.
Dion was the offensive coordinator for him in high school.
Okay, yeah, that's my thought would be we would be heavy-handed in it whether or not he was or not, you know. I feel like that's a difficult thing to do when you've only had one voice in your head. And so my hunch is, yeah, third round, fifth round, all that stuff does matter. There's about $1.5 million difference in the guaranteed rookie scale contracts and certainly a lot of perception. But I think when you just got to pick two kids that are unproven, you kind of go with the kid who at least can check a protection, you know, maybe change a route, check a run to the right defender, you know, those
Jeff,
type of things.
Jeff, real quick, the only thing I would say about what you're saying, and we appreciate you, buddy, we're not running you for that. We are up against it here. But the point is, all those things are things that you can coach up. Like, and I know because they've done that the last 3 weeks, and you saw several times Shador check into things or point out production, which he didn't do 2 weeks ago. And there's been an interesting pivot for people trying to maintain the Browns' dignity in all this that I think it's weak sauce beyond weak sauce. And that is, well, no. It's just that Dylan was more pro ready. And it's like, no, he was pro ready to be a backup. He wasn't pro ready to start. And the whole point of NFL coaching is that if you're not NFL ready, they get your ass NFL ready. I'll take a guy that isn't quote unquote ready to play week one, but has the talent to be a starter versus a guy who's ready to play week one, who doesn't have the talent to be a starter. Well, and by the way, I'm still not giving the Browns that out.
It's also not like Joe Flacco got injured and they were forced to make that move either. They were the ones that decided in week five that they wanted to go to Dylan Gabriel. They didn't have to go to Dylan.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
And Gabriel in that moment.
Shador being more comfortable in the wind and snow and making plays in not quite the snow globe game, but certainly pretty tedious circumstances, and being able to do that in the fourth quarter back-to-back times.
Yeah, great point. Like, we talk about growth and we talk about looking better from one week to the next and where we can find things that, like, we truly identify. On Wednesday, when Shador spoke to the media, I knew there was something different there because all he kept talking about is that Jerry Jeudy throw he had in the San Francisco game, and then going away from throwing the deep ball, going away from what he felt comfortable to do. And that's why all week long it turned into a big conversation. Are they going to let him loose? Are they going to let him loose? And I wasn't concerned about it because I knew Shador would go back to what he's comfortable with, and he got spooked in the 49ers game. In many ways, we can look at the 49ers game as almost a blessing. He got spooked in that game, and he didn't trust himself. And then you realize, going into this one, he wasn't going to let that happen twice. Mm-hmm. Like that, he learned his lesson. He touched the stove. He got burnt. He's not going to do that again. And that's why I think we saw the continued deep plays. And even after the interception, why he went back to having the deep plays. He learned.
Yeah. Well, and I think that was, to me, that's a... How do you respond to your biggest mistake? I mean, there was a part of me that was worried today. I was going to have to come in and be like, he lost the game. He did. I mean, that interception in that moment felt like, how are you going to come back from that? Me and my cabin guys were texting during the actual, I think it was with 9 minutes left, and I was like, I think Shador can get you a score here. I don't think he can get you two scores. He went and did it. He went and whether it was the weather, whether it was, you know, how do you respond to that twice? How do you get these guys how they were playing around him to score twice?
Mm-hmm.
He did it. Now, that being said.
Once the 2-point conversion failed the first one, I knew they were scoring a second time.
Oh, that's interesting.
I knew it.
I
was texting my buddies. The moment that 2-point conversion didn't hit the first time, I said, they're scoring a touchdown again, and they're going to end up losing the game. And it basically in very predictable fashion to how it went down, but I knew he was scoring again.
I remember surmising something like, I'd just be fitting if we actually scored it, and then the 2-point conversion was the difference. And lo and behold, the 2-point conversion was the difference. Well, after the game, again, it was Quinshon Judkins and Gage Larvadan on a trick play where Quinshon just abruptly forgot to, you know, pitch the ball. Totally normal play, right?
His brain stopped working. Yeah. I don't know. He can at some point dissect what happened.
Could it be that half of the Titans defense was within 3 yards of him? Because I think if you watch him, he's watching the wall of Titans. One of which I believe was T. Devondre Sweat. I think he was just watching them and like, I'm going to die. I honestly think he saw. I don't, because which is funny because I think the obvious is Gage Larvadan might have been able to waltz into the end zone.
Yeah, if he had just executed it. Yeah.
But so obviously that was a pivotal point. Kevin Stefanski, tough, smart, accountable. Kevin Stefanski was asked about that decision and the decision to go for two and the play they called with Shador Sanders not on the field after the game.
What's supposed to happen on that last 2-point conversion?
Yeah, not going to get into all the specifics, Jeff, but obviously it did not go as we thought it would.
You make that call or did Tommy?
Yeah, I make every call. I make every call.
Why would you take him off?
Yeah, it's a 2-point play. Didn't come through on our first 2-point play. Got to the second 2-point play. We didn't come through, but that's on me.
Is that play call yours or Tommy's?
I'm responsible for all of it.
Kevin, on the first one, just I guess what prompted wanting to go for it in that scenario?
Yeah, it's a scenario that we talk about a lot. That's something that when you're down 14, feel good about the decision there. Didn't come through.
I don't honestly care about the decision to go for two. I understand that this is an analytically inclined organization, so they're going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's how the hell do you have a kid that is cooking, that is playing real football,
yeah,
and you take him, he's the reason why you get back into that game and you're in a position and you still feel the need. Listen, this whole thing is about evaluating, right, all these players, giving them chances to develop. That would have been a great chance to build the confidence of Shador, or at least give him the experience of failing and learning from it. I'm cool failing, going for 2 points with Shador. I'm not cool failing when you just take the ball out of the rookie quarterback's hand.
You got to give the ball to Shador in that moment. That's I agree. That's the part that's inexcusable to me. Shador was one of the best red zone quarterbacks last year in all of college football. We know that it's a strength of his. And so the idea that they keep looking at these red zone situations as anything but a strength for him, I hope they get that right moving forward. But the idea that you turn it into a trick play, I don't know. Was your instant thought the same as mine in that they weren't trying to win this game?
I mean, I think that was, not for me. No, I think they were trying to win it. I honestly think Kevin Stefanski thought that was the best play. Taking the ball out of Shador's hands was going to give them the best chance to win.
Okay, because if that was the case, then I in the moment, and because I was texting Buddy so I can remember it, I was thinking either he just is incredibly dumb when it comes to what he thinks about these type of situations right now, or he's trying to lose the game. Either one, it's not great. Like so much of that play was revolved around rookies performing their job at an extremely high rate between Larvadan and Judkins. And when you bring that much into the equation, and I know I get it, I'm asking a rookie in Shador Sanders to pull off the part two, but you're doing a trick play. These trick plays are not supposed to be as successful as the Browns think they are. It fell short for me.
So I think, to me, it's much more alarming. I think there's a fine difference between Kevin Stefanski is trying to lose and Kevin is checked out. And it's funny, like, we can get into this as the show goes on. I think Kevin knows. I not only do I think Kevin knows that the end is nigh, I think he'd welcome it. I think if you said right now to Kevin, you want to coach the final 4 weeks of this, or can we just fire you now?
Well, he sounded very defeated in the postgame.
Well, and I'll be honest with you, that was the biggest chicken bleep move of them all. I like Kevin.
Coach Riz loved it, by the way. Coach Riz thought there was accountability there.
Well, I understand why he likes it, because he basically said, it's my decision.
He took the bullets is what he did.
No, the problem is,
He stepped on the grenade.
The problem is he took accountability by not taking accountability. So he took accountability for the play call without actually explaining why the hell Shador wasn't on the field. You owe it to Browns fans. And I'm sick of this organization thinking they don't owe it to Browns fans. There are, listen, 90% of stuff, you don't owe a damn thing to the Browns fans in way of explanations. In a game that was incredibly winnable with a team that, against all odds, was fighting back into that game, right? And a fan base that was in that game, when you make that decision to take the quarterback who led you back into this game, when you make the decision to pull him off the field, have a set and speak on it.
And so here's the problematic part of this, Nick, is that if you heard in the press conference, Stefanski had mentioned they had made the decision to do that play and go for it in that situation. But that play, that call, that little gadget play that we've been talking about, as the drive was progressing, this was not something that they came up with after they scored the touchdown and then saw the whole flow of how they even got to the end zone. They, again, this is Stefanski's words, and how he accounted for it was that they came up with all this as the play was, or as the drive was moving and they were going down the field. They had in the headset collectively come up with the idea that not only obviously you're going for it, you have to, but that was going to be their play call if in fact they got in the end zone. Now, for myself, I think that is, you talk about missing feel. That's missing feel for the game right there. Like, understanding what you're hot with, who's playing well in the moment. How'd you come up with that at like the 40-yard line as you're trying to drive down?
And why did the rest of the drive not change your mind? Why are you more comfortable with the game in the hands of Quinshon? And I love Quinshon, right? But you're running back than the quarterback that engineered not just one, but two, a game clinching and a game tying, or sorry, a drive to get back into the game and then potentially a game clinching drive.
All right,
That's embarrassing.
We agree. We both hated the play call. I think that's the dumbest thing about it. I think we both also agree we didn't hate them going for two in many instances. The part that did bug me, though, and this is where I would push back on the idea of going for two. Yes, in most situations, that's right. And yes, it does give you the highest percentage chance of actually winning the game. All those things are true. You know what gives you the highest percentage chance of going into overtime, though? And this is irrefutable. This is also backed up by analytics. Is kicking the extra points. And the reason why you don't kick the extra points is you're trying to avoid overtime, right? In my mind, though, the way that game was going, if you send this thing to overtime, you're winning that game.
Yeah.
Irrefutable to me, you're winning that game. The Browns defense had it locked down with Tennessee. They weren't able to move the ball, as evidenced by the drive that stopped in between the two touchdowns that you had. And, like, you go to overtime, you win that game. And so, like, I just feel like that was the feel that was missed within this, is that if you kick the extra points, you send it to overtime, I can all but assure you that you take home that win.
216-474-0092. Obviously, we're reacting to the Cleveland Browns loss here in the two-point conversion. And just, I want to give Stefanski credit for just taking one on the chin for Tommy Rees and saying, hey, everything's at my feet, all right? That is accountability, except when you use that as a reason to not explain why Shador wasn't on the field in that scenario.
Yeah, and just bypass it all.
Yes, because that's the more important part. Going for it to me, all right. Yeah, give me some insight on that.
If you're going to have stones and go for it, you might as well be able to back it up in the postgame.
Also, it is your fault. You're the head coach, right? You've allowed Bubba Ventrone to continue to be employed. You allow that decision. Kevin Stefanski can veto that play. Like, the amount of people on Twitter yesterday, they're like, wow, but he didn't call that play. Yes, but he allowed it to happen.
What, again, as discussed, they had themselves discussed what the play was mid-drive. They had already, that was a collective. Like, we try to figure out what parts aren't or aren't.
10 minutes real time.
That's a collective decision that they had made in real time as the drive was progressing, that's what they wanted to do.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.